Today the disciples ask, teach us how to pray, Jesus. And so Jesus does. He gives us this lesson plan on prayer in four parts, right? So part number one is the Lord's Prayer. This part we know sounds pretty familiar. It's our dinner prayer before communion. We share with Christians around the globe. There are many versions out there, but the sustenance is the same. And may you know you can always pray this comforting prayer in the language of your heart, in the way that resonates most for you. Part two of Jesus's lesson on prayer is a parable about an annoying friend. And well, can't we really call him a friend? This person's a terrible planner. They are empty-handed with midnight guests, and so they wake you up and your children up, not just for one loaf of bread, but for three. Let's call them an acquaintance. Eh? I don't know, friend. Part number three of Jesus's lesson on prayer is this little part that is so poetic we have taken to putting it on greeting cards. It is a platitude when someone is going through a hard time. We see it embroidered on pillows or at the Christian bookstores. You know, those used to be a thing in the 90s, right? You could get a mug with this phrase on it. Ask and receive. Search and find. Knock and the door will be opened. Such a beautiful sentiment. If that phrase actually works, I don't know, some days it's easier to believe in that than others, Jesus. But this last line is the kicker, the real meat of Jesus's lesson. If we who are evil know how to give good gifts to the children we love, how much more will the Heavenly Father give us the Holy Spirit when we ask? Prayer begins with who we actually think we are praying to. Who do we actually believe God to be? What is God really like? According to Bruce Almighty, God is a kid up there with a magnifying glass watching the ants squirm. Perhaps God is kind of like Santa, keeping track of all our behavior when we are naughty or nice. So when something bad happens, we can just say we are at fault and are being punished. Doesn't feel good either. Perhaps God doesn't punish us like that, but really God just feels absent, way up there in the clouds somewhere. Some days this really feels true, especially in the midst of so much brokenness and war and sickness and death. Who do we believe God to be? Because who we believe God to be will affect how we pray and what we ask for. For does God care? Is God listening? Now, I just got back from a few days at Marlew Ridge Lutheran Camp, and I was there to help lead confirmation camp. And it feels like I spent a lot of time at camp this summer. Just 2 weeks ago, I was at family camp in Caroline Furnace. It's just the way the schedule worked out this year. And I feel really lucky that this congregation is connected to these distinct, beautiful places. One is tucked in the Shenandoah National Park in the valley, right next to it, surrounded by deer and trees and a rushing creek and lots of gnats. The other one is Frederick, maybe that way. Frederick, Maryland, near Mount Katahdin and Harper's Ferry. And this one is literally on a ridge. And everywhere we walked this week was a steep climb down and then back up. And both of these weeks, I was carrying a toddler. And I wish I could say I felt really strong, but it really makes me think I should spend some more time doing planks and stair climbers. We live, I know Arlington is on a hill, but this neighborhood is mostly flat. Anyway, camp. Camp is a special place for me. I grew up going to Luther Memorial Camp in Ohio, and I worked at Luther Springs in Florida in college. And what I loved the most about being a camp counselor, the reason I ended up in seminary, actually, is because I feel like a lot of people, kids especially, we forget who God promises to be for us. And camp is one of those places where we can hit the reset button. Maybe it's the bug spray fumes and all the complex carbohydrates we eat. But camp is this place where we sing about God's love, we do Bible studies, we hide our watches and set our days by natural time, and we pray a lot, morning, noon, and night. Wednesday night at confirmation camp, the campers decided they did not want to do another hike. And so they looked at me and said, "Should we do some worship instead? In what world is that normal? Oh, we have nothing else to do. Let's do some worship." That's camp, people. Surrounded by beautiful trees and birds and interesting bugs, God's love becomes a little more visible. It's easier to believe in God, to lean on this invisible force that's made visible in these tiny little ways. Things slow down, cell phones die, and we talk about the things that are really the substance of life. It's an extreme gift and privilege to go to camp. And I know you all didn't get to go to camp with me this week, but little plug, shameless plug here. If you want to come to camp with me this fall, we are going to do a fall retreat the last weekend in September and drive out to Caroline Furnace for a couple days. So check out your bulletins and talk to me. But since you didn't get to come to camp with me this week, I thought I would bring a little camp to you. So this is a little book I used to read my campers as a bedtime story. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's too long. But let us just pretend that our cabin group won Capture the Flag. Woohoo! We roasted some marshmallows and we sang some camp songs, and now we're back in our cabin. It's looking so cozy, right? We have our PJs on, we brushed our teeth, and you're all sitting quietly in your sleeping bags. And I want to read to you a couple pages from this book, God Thinks You're Wonderful by Max Lucado. God is fond of you. If they had a wallet, your photo would be in it. If they had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. They send you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, they'll listen. God can live anywhere in the universe, and they chose your heart. Face it, friend, God is crazy about you. By the way, it may be difficult for you to believe that. God knows your name, but she does. Written on her hand, spoken by his mouth, whispered by her lips, your name. Our hearts are not large enough to contain the blessings that God wants to give. So try this. The next time a sunrise steals your breath or a meadow of flowers leaves you speechless, remain this way. Say nothing and listen as heaven whispers, "Do you like it? I did it just for you." If we give gifts to show our love, how much more would she? They could have left the world flat and gray, but they didn't. He splashed orange in the sunrise and cast the sky in blue. And if you love to see geese as they gather, chances are you'll see that too. Did she have to make the squirrel's tail furry? Was he obliged to make the birds sing and the funny way that chickens scurry or the majesty of thunder when it rings? Why give a flower fragrance? Why give food its taste? Could it be she loves to see that look upon your face? So promise me you'll never forget that you aren't an accident or an incident. You are a gift to the world, a divine work of art signed by God. You were knit together. You weren't mass-produced. You aren't an assembly line product. You were deliberately planned, specifically gifted, and lovingly positioned on this earth by the master craftsman. She thinks you're the best thing to come down the pike in quite a while. This is my favorite picture. It's a little bunny dancing. Turn to the sidelines. That is God cheering you run. Look past the finish line. That's God applauding your steps. God is for you. God is for you. You see, dear ones, that's it. God is for you. Martin Luther described the Lord's Prayer as God's grace for us. This is who God is and how we can talk to God. This is how God wants to be in relationship with us. God wants to hear how we're really doing the whole thing every day, just as Jesus described. God is holy, God is loving, God is bringing that kingdom of abundance, forgiveness, and love a little closer every day. God provides us with what we need for each and every day. God gives us that superhero power to forgive one another and helps us believe in the power of this forgiveness for ourselves. God makes space for us, always, even if it is at midnight and we show up unprepared. God doesn't give us scorpions or snakes unless we ask for them. God hears us. God loves us. So, dear ones, don't give up on your prayers, especially the ones you're afraid to say out loud, the ones that you just aren't sure if they'll ever come true. Keep asking those questions. Keep dreaming. Be persistent. Don't give up on what you really want, desire, or long for this world, because chances are God longs for those things too. Wrestle with God a little bit. Abraham did, and he won. He got God to not destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, even if there's only 10 righteous people left. We will never know fully who God is. We will never understand God's timing. But what we do know is who God has revealed God's self to be through Jesus, the one who loves us and invites us to pray often. And always. Amen. Thanks be to God.